on the teaching of tonight's word. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Tonight we want to look at chapter 2. Chapter 2. Specifically, verses 1 through 7 we'll be looking at tonight. The title of tonight's message, Walking in Grace. Walking in Grace. It is a most worthy statement that Jesus spoke in Matthew 16 when he spoke to his disciples and he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Such a short sentence with so much truth and prophecy contained in it. Paraphrased, it would read, the life and the ministry of a believer is not easy. Particularly those that would be set aside to be leaders, to be ministers. Those that would confess Christ for fame or fortune would quickly see that this road is not a pleasure. It's not a pleasure cruise, and it was never intended to be that way. It is, in fact, that if they're doing any type of real ministry, one that would come into even professing Christ would quickly conclude that it really wouldn't be worth it. The fact is that when we can be joyful and excited in the early stages, it's a fact that there's excitement there, and there's so much joy there when things are new. Many times it grows to be difficult and tiresome in ministry. How many confessing believers have you known who started out well, but as time went on and it went on and the heat was turned up, that they actually turned away and some even left the faith? How many church teachers have you heard about, or preachers have you heard about, or just members have you heard that served well for a while, but because of ongoing struggles of ministry, just simply burnt out and become even a hindrance for the gospel ministry? Because their testimony is a testimony to the world. Some would go so far as to say that these really were not even Christians. That they would, if they were Christians, they would never even become tired, would they? I mean, if they were really Christians, they wouldn't become tired. They wouldn't become disenchanted. They wouldn't become bewildered. For as the Holy Spirit would never allow such a frame of mind in a true believer. As Jesus spoke, to believe in Him and to follow Him, and definitely to a higher degree, to minister for Him, one must deny themselves. Deny self. In other words, not look to satisfy your own flesh or make your own plans for success, but rather die to self. Die to self by choosing to carry the cross of Christ. Jesus stated, blessed. Blessed, permanently fulfilled are those that come after Him. Nowhere did He promise or suggest that a life set aside to Christ would not have its trials, or that the ministry of Christ would not come with resistance and difficulties. It can and it does cause our flesh at times to struggle in ministering and persevering in Christ. Paul knew what it was like to be challenged in ministry, and he struggled. 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren. And here's a pastor's heart. It's a pastor's heart. I don't want you to think that there's no difficulties in my life. That's what he's saying here. That I'm not under affliction, that we in the ministry are not under affliction. He says, our afflictions, which came to us in Asia, I don't want you to be unaware about of all that went on there. And you need to understand it's just not physical. That we were burdened excessively beyond our strength so that we despaired even of life. They were under this pressure and persecution and ridicule and you know, things just not going the way they had planned. And they're struggling. He goes on to say, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. In other words, walking through this, the result of it for him was saying, I can't trust in myself because I waver. I will waver. One can be discouraged, truly, as you strive and you do not see results, or at least the desired results. One can even question the methodology sometimes of a word-focused ministry because of the resistance to is just too great, and frankly, it's just too anti-culture. I mean, many times you just want to say, this is just too anti-culture. We got to twist this up. I mean, this is the 21st century. Can the message be the same? One can see how really an attitude of despair can arise in the race that is set before us. Or even as the author of Hebrews describes it, the hands that become weak and the knees become feeble. Believers can become discouraged. They can be discouraged in ministry. They can be discouraged in their own walk with the Lord. This letter here, this was the second letter to Timothy. And that is what this is about. Paul had turned the church of Ephesus over to Timothy to establish it and build it up. He was given instruction in his first letter. He was given instruction on how to do the ministry of the Lord. And it was, you read this letter, I mean, it's just right down the line. I mean, men have taken the letter of 1 Timothy, you expand it by 300 or 400 pages, you can write a nice book and put a nice... You can call it what you want, church, whatever you call it. But that was the instruction. He was given instruction in the first letter just how to do the ministry of the Lord, but he was warned against false doctrine. That's where he begins. He warns them against false doctrine. He instructed in the importance of prayer. He gave qualifications for the leadership to be appointed. He told them how to handle and minister to sinning members. He told them how to take care of the widows, what to preach and what to teach, how to stay out of worldly and empty arguments. He told them all those things. I mean, it's finite detail. Paul had been most specific how Timothy was to lead the church. But here in this second letter, we find that Timothy, this faithful, this spiritual son of Paul, had done those things, but they had not all turned out as he desired. And from what Paul is exhorting in this letter, it becomes apparent that Timothy is weary and was in danger, really, of weakening spiritually. That's what was going on here in this second letter. Timothy is waffling. In the first chapter, Paul states, I am mindful that your faith is sincere, reminding Timothy truly that he is the third generation Christian. I mean, obviously there was an issue here in that he needed to be reminded about this. He tells him, rekindle afresh your gift that is within you. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of Christ or of me. Obviously, there was something going on, that there was this issue that was going on in him, that he was becoming ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and that he was becoming ashamed that he was aligned with a man that is now in prison. This is the guy. All of those things happened. Paul had come. He had brought this strong word. He had given that word to Timothy. Timothy goes and preaches it. It didn't turn out well. Not for everybody. And so now there's this question mark. Is it the right word? He tells him that God had not called him because of his works, but according to God's own purpose. There's a reminding here. This ministry, Timothy, is not about you and your heartfelt needs. It's not about you, Timothy. That he hadn't called him according to the work that he would do, but according to his own purpose. And grace was granted to him in Christ from all eternity. And that means before Timothy was even born, now it had been revealed in the appearing of Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, the ministry is about Christ, Timothy. It's not about satisfaction surveys. It's not about affirmation. This is for this ministry of Christ, this ministry that he had described to Timothy. Paul had suffered for it. And he says, you know, Timothy, I'm not ashamed. He encourages that it has not been easy for him himself. Paul, it's not been easy for me, Timothy. You think it's been easy for me? It's been a struggle. It is not easy, Timothy. He further instructs, retain the standard of strong words which you have heard from me. Guard through the Holy Spirit the treasure that has been entrusted to you. Even admitting here that you can't even do this by yourself, you actually need the Spirit of God to help. That's the encouragement here to him in chapter 1. Paul's life was coming to a close. He was in prison, and this was not the easy days. But it was coming to close. He knew it was coming to a close. And this would be the last letter he would write. He wanted to pass the torch onto Timothy. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to pass it on to Timothy. So it was very important that Timothy did not get sidetracked. It didn't get sidetracked or become weighted down with despair, but rather that he would continue with what Paul and the others had begun. There was a lot riding on Timothy. So here in chapter 2, we have Paul giving the simple cure, really, for discouragement. It's a simple one. Discouragement here in verse 1. Walk in the grace that is in Christ. It's the simple thing. We can say amen. We can go to the Lord's Supper. We can leave. We can go home. That's it right there. It's the secret to discouragement. But he goes further. He goes further and he gives him examples of just what that would look like and putting that into practice in ministry or even in everyday life. So many times we have the pat packaged answer, don't we, to what is going on in someone else's life. And we throw it out. And they're all truths. They're all truths. Application. Application. Implementing. Implementation. Those are the issues that we struggle with so many times. Remembering those things. So what does that really look like? And that is what Paul has done for us here. What does it look like to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? What does it look like to walk in grace? So let's just read this and then we'll expand on this a little bit more. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So let's look at this first point here, this call to stand firm. Number one, there is a call to stand firm. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. We see this. He begins here, you therefore, my son. You therefore, my son. This you therefore, as always, it directs the therefore directs us back to look back at what previously had been said. Paul here simply says to Timothy, because of what I just stated about you and ministry, you need to listen up. This is going to be an education moment here, Timothy. I've laid out a whole lot of things in chapter 1. Now, I want you to listen to me. Therefore, because of what I just said, and he puts this term, this son, this spiritual son, it's a term of endearment. Paul directs his encouragement from the vantage point of a father to a son. And when you bring this into play, I mean, there's conversations. I have conversations with my sons. The time we talk about stuff, and it's just no different than I'm talking to somebody on the front row here. But there's times when I look at them, and that look at them, and I open it with, son, comma. And there's going to be something that's going to come out. There's going to be some educational moment, and that is what Paul is doing here with his spiritual son. Therefore, son, I've encouraged you. Now I'm going to encourage you more because it's important that you get it. That you get it. I would not lead you astray. I am your spiritual father. That's what he's saying. That's what this says. It's even for Timothy to remember who Paul is. This is a heart-to-heart talk about what has been going on in Timothy's ministry. The fact that he's laid all of these things out is a testimony to Timothy. My spiritual dad knows what's happening in my life. I don't know who told him. Maybe Timothy told him. The word is out. Timothy is struggling. He's struggling. And truly, there is no hard evidence in Scripture, but from this encouragement that Paul gives, we see that Timothy was wavering in these things. He was wavering. Now, likely, he had become spiritually weak, possibly even questioning his own faith. And definitely questioning him being able to endure, because that's what Paul encouraged him to be confident in his faith. And the confidence in Paul was confident in what he had seen in him. 2 Timothy 1:5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. Paul would never say that to Timothy unless he was confident. He was not one to just throw out compliments. I'm thinking if Paul had a wife, he would not just end every conversation with love you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, you know, you can say it so much it just becomes white noise. Paul was not one of those guys, I just don't think. I am mindful for the sincere faith within you, which dwelt in you, which dwelt in your grandmother. You are a three-generation believer, Timothy. He must have questioned his spiritual calling. Because he goes on in verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to kindle fresh the gift." He's saying, Timothy, you were called for this. There's a calling on your life. So it wasn't a job that you interviewed for. And because you didn't get into medical school, you can be a pastor of the church in Ephesus. There's a calling that was on Timothy's life. It's a calling. So Paul encouraged him. He gives him the facts and the secret to enduring. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Truly, what humanly seems impossible can be accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we look at things sometimes and it just can't happen. But the Holy Spirit can work. It may seem hopeless. It may seem overwhelming. It may take longer than you have expected and may not be on your timetable. But there is strength in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, Timothy. That's what Paul is saying. It hasn't turned out exactly like everyone wanted, Timothy. But oh, Timothy. Don't despair. Don't despair. There's so much is riding on you, Timothy. I'm getting ready to hand over. I'm getting ready to hand the torch to you. Don't drop it. Grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does that really mean? This grace that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, all of this grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What is it? What was that going to encourage him? Well, think about the grace. Salvation by grace. You are saved through grace. There's no power in yourself to save. You can't save yourself. There's no means to even understand your sinfulness on your own. All of that is the grace of God. And all of it is because of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace that is in Christ Jesus brings sanctification. You can't even, you come to salvation, you cannot walk on the narrow road by yourself. You will not read enough books, read enough scripture, pray enough, whatever, enough that you can walk that road by yourself outside the grace of God. If there is anything good in any of us, it is because of the grace that's in Christ Jesus. It is by grace that the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, empowering you to resist and overcome sin. You have no power outside of that. You don't. Timothy did not. You do not. All of the promises of God come to pass because of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So that's what Paul is reminding Timothy. It's a secret to all your despair, all your discouragement. All of it, Timothy. You have righteousness before God because of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You will one day reign with Christ because of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So here Paul draws Timothy's attention back to what his entire life and his entire ministry is about and why he even breathes. And he's encouraging him to remember and be strong. Stand firm in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's what's brought you here, Timothy. Oh, that's what delivered you from the darkness to light, Timothy. God with us. His Holy Spirit in us. Now, this be strong that Paul writes here. It's the imperative voice. It's a command. Father to a son, you need to do this, Timothy. This wasn't a suggestion. Might be one of the ways. It was a directive. Be strong. Act like a man. Be who you are, who you have been called to be. With it, though, comes this love and this compassion of an experienced spiritual father to a young, suffering, and struggling spiritual son. This is not a man that hasn't walked the walk, and it's just a talk. This is a man that has walked the same road that Timothy would walk on. When it comes to understanding of one who walked this road himself and was weakened, this was Paul. This is what it was coming from. Yes, he is demanding, he is commanding, but it's coming to Timothy with the love and the passion of a spiritual father. You see his pastoral heart to come. This is not really a charge to become more spiritual or to receive some other new blessing. It's strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in what is already in you. And that's what he's saying to him. Strong in what he already possessed, what he already had. He needed to remember and use what he had already been provided. You know, Peter tells us in 2 Peter, everything you need according to life has been given to you. If we're struggling, whose fault is that? Is it God's fault? He's hidden something under the seats of the pew? You have been given everything. And here is what Paul is telling Timothy. Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it set out everything. Everything that comes out of that. Timothy, that's what's in you. This is who you are. And he's telling you, you need to remember this, Timothy. So how does this grace that is in Christ Jesus make you strong? Well, it's out of this indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that God puts in you at the point of your salvation. Truly, Christ out of grace puts the Holy Spirit in you to make you strong. He puts it in to make you strong. He just doesn't put it in so you'll know where you're at. It's like some GPS thing of God up here walking. So let's just put the little Holy Spirit in so we can see where they're all at. See those little maps. Say population density, penetration, Mobile, Alabama, penetration, Birmingham, Samara. You know, that's not what's going on. The Holy Spirit is put into you to give you power. And that's what he's telling them, Timothy. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity. I mean, this is a direct statement to Timothy. Timothy, too timid. You're living in this subservient life, subservient to what Satan is doing, subservient to everything going around you, and you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You're looking for something to make you more happy, more joyful, more desirous to the people, but you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Discipline. And he has put it in you to help you walk through these days. That's what he's telling them. And oh yes, Timothy, I know it's tough. Believe me, I know it's tough. Look at my back, Timothy. If I was there with you, look at my back. Look where I'm at. I can't come to you, Timothy. I'm in a jail cell. And you know, he'd been in prison before where he could kind of walk and there was freedom. People could come and go. But man, it's not like that now. If you read the end of this book, it's, oh, come quickly. It's cold here. Everybody else has left me. Let me tell you, where he was at was not a pleasant place to be. Paul wasn't talking out of inexperience. You know, it's one of the things that always kind of aggravate me about people who give advice in places they've never been. You know, it really does. I mean, and truly, sometimes you have to. I mean, and that's the reason my advice, and I think the correct one, is to use Scripture. Because so many places you've never been. But you know, there's people who want to talk about being poor, and they were born rich. Want to talk about what it would be like living under communism. We've never lived. We've had freedom for everything. We got so much freedom, it's become toxic. We don't even understand, but Paul understood. He said, Timothy, it's no time to be timid. It's time to be a man. Be who you are. Stand firm in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. According to what? Your choices? You chose this. You put this on your application. Would like this job. That's not really what verse 9 says in this letter that Paul wrote. According to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Say, man, he has saved you, Timothy. He put you in the ministry, Timothy. He has given you a holy calling on your life, Timothy. He's given you an understanding, and he's put me in your life, and I've given you the strong word, Timothy. He's not saying how great I am, but he's saying you have been given a lot, Timothy. There's been a lot of people pour their life into you, Timothy. Now be a man. God does not call you for you to fail. He didn't call you to fail. He calls you for his own purpose. We fail when we choose to operate outside of God's purposes, and many times we do. That's when you're going to fail. That's a sure recipe for disaster, operating outside what God wants. But, you know, I'm going to figure out what I want. We've seen the ramifications of that in Scripture. You see the ramifications of your life. He calls for his purposes. That's how we are enabled, when we are walking according to his grace and in his purpose. We quote this all the time. Philippians 4:13. We all know it by heart. Our kids memorize it. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I. It is a personal thing. You, as a child of God, can, refers to ability. It's ability. It's not a permission, but it's ability. I can. Do is an action. It gets back to your deeds. It gets back to your works. All things, here we go. All things that I want to do, no. All things refers to that God calls you to do. God calls you to do through him, and he's the source of power. It's God himself. The Holy Spirit strengthens, refers to God's effect on you. Note, it is in present tense. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Present tense. That's about today. That's about today. That is about your life, my life today. If the Holy Spirit is inside of you, this is what Paul wrote about you. You're an I. You can do all things. All things that God would want you to do in his purpose that he calls you to. You cannot do all things. Really, you can't do anything. But you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Once again, this is grace. This is not you. It's not something you practice for. It's grace. It's all about grace. Timothy, no time to live in despair. No time to be discouraged. No time to be timid. It's time to walk like a man. Be strong. Be strong. The Lord enables us to overcome our fears and weaknesses in the work that He has purposed us to do. That's what He's done. That's what He does for us. You recall the Lord to Joshua, who's commanded to take over Moses. Now think about it. Man, there's a lot happened in 40 years. You recall what happened in 40 years? Basically, everyone that Joshua ever knew died. Okay? And now I'm in charge? You ever have a situation where everyone you counted on is gone? And there's Joshua. He's in charge. He's put in charge. And here's what God says to Joshua. Be strong. Don't wimp out. And courageous. Man, you got to have courage. Man, here, you know, God is saying, you know, Joshua, I know this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Sometimes we don't think God understands, but man, you see a father's heart come out of this as he talks to Joshua, this young man who's supposed to take over as the leader after his spiritual father would be equal to even to Paul, has gone. He died. And in reality, he's thinking he died and he didn't get to go in. I mean, we're holding this guy up this big and it just didn't work out that well for him. And now it's just me. But here's what he says. Be strong and courageous, for you shall. The word is shall. It doesn't might or maybe. But you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. I mean, he don't even stop there. He's saying strong, double strong, and very courageous. Not just courageous, but very courageous. But here's the warning. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. One of my most favorite verses is in the Bible. It's about God's Word. You want to be successful, young person? You want to be successful, young man, young woman, young mother, young father? Let me tell you, success is in His Word. All that is needed is in His Word. You get in His Word. You apply it to whatever situation is going on in your life. God intends for you to be strong, to stand firm into what He has called you to do. Recall Paul to the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. That's what he says. Be strong. And that's not just a sexist comment either. That reaches to every human being that professes Christ. Be strong. Be strong. He goes even further in chapter 16, 1 Corinthians. Let all that you do be done in love. Come on, be strong, and then I got to do it in love. It's taking it to an nth degree. Sometimes I can be strong, but I'm just not real loving in doing it. That's tough. That's a tough one. Paul, he directs to those in Ephesus, Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now that's an interesting thought. The schemes of the devil. Who do you think is behind Timothy's discouragement? Who do you think is behind that? Who do you think is behind his despair? Who do you think? The devil. The devil. Recall Job. You're probably going to hear a lot about Job over the next month. So I started a study in Job a few weeks ago, and I'm sorry, you know, when all you have is apples, then you bake a lot of pies and apple pies. And so, you know, just studying Job, and you know, you see Satan, he's coming into the court of God, and you know, all of the angels are reporting to God. Satan is there, and we can just, I don't want to discuss what he's doing there and all of these things, but God says, well, where you been, Satan? Walking, wandering around on the face of the earth. Well, he goes, messes with Job, comes back. Same question asked, where you been, Satan? Just walking around, wandering around on the face of the earth. When in reality, he'd been destroying Job's life. That's what he's doing in all of our lives. That's what he's come to do. Are you surprised at that? Kill, steal, destroy. Do you think that's some boogeyman story? Kill, steal, destroy. He wants to destroy all the joy that you have in your life. Do you understand that's a mission? Sometimes you think that you're insignificant. No, not so. Not in this case. You are insignificant in a lot of different ways. I'm very insignificant in most ways. But you know, you see, here's the deal. If Satan steals your joy, the joy that is only accounted to Jesus Christ, you know what he's done? He has stolen your witness. You know, without the joy of your life, without the joy of the Lord in your life on a day-to-day basis, I mean, what's there to witness about? Who wants to be like you? When all you're doing is just, you know, life is awful. It's so awful. Nothing good to say about anybody. Nothing good going on in your life. That is what Satan wants you to believe about your life. And truly, if you go to chapter 3, and we'll continue the saga later on, let me tell you, he gets there with Job. Job is questioning, why did you even let me be born, God? Have you had that thought? There's many of us have been in enough despair to have had that thought. Why would you have let me not die at birth if you were going to do this to me? You do this to me? But you see, Paul, comes here and he is encouraging his son that to take the focus off yourself, Timothy. God is working in heaven, and Satan is working on the earth, and he is here to discourage you, but the Holy Spirit is in you to encourage you. Walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Timothy. This is a war. It's not fought with our muscles, and it's not fought really with guns and all of these things and airplanes. This is a war that is against the things that are not flesh and they're not blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of witnesses of wickedness in heavenly places. This is a devil war. And you know, that is what goes on in our life. Because Satan wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be in despair. He wants you to look at things that God has given you and say, that is inadequate. That is not enough. I need more. I want more things. I'm not doing well in this. We're not doing well in that. I need to be better. I need to be this. And it's all about me. And it's all about you. And all about the whining. And he is saying, stop whining, Timothy. You're the leader of the church. I'm giving you the torch. You get the picture of almost, it's like, I just can't play with the fire deal. He's saying, be strong. And truly, this is a command. It's an imperative statement, but it's a passive verb. It means that there's an outside force that's causing this, making this to come to pass. You being strong is brought to pass by God working on you. It's about the Holy Spirit working in you to strengthen you, to remind you. That's what it's about. We are not strengthened by muscles or our own will, but we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We're strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. His might. Paul commands Timothy to not waver in the task set before him. He had left him in Ephesus to establish the church. He had been equipped by God. Now it was time to apply those gifts. You've been trained for this. Get going, Timothy. The church needed Timothy to stand firm. Success depended on him accomplishing God's work, God's way. We don't need a consultant, he says. Timothy, we don't need a growth consultant. We need you to act like a man. Be firm. And now I'm recognizing I'm not going to get all of this done. I'm really not. But I'm going to go to this next point here, and then I'm sure I'll have another opportunity, and we'll come back to this. But this next sentence here is he starts to lay it out, and he says, be firm. He says, now I'm going to show you what you need to be doing and what it looks like in everyday life. And so he starts giving these analogies as it was. Verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach also. Timothy was to equip and teach others what he had been taught. No need for a board meeting. No need for a committee to get together to decide the purpose of his ministry. The purpose of his ministry was to teach the Word of God. That's it. That's it. That is the purpose of your ministry. Teach the Word of God. This word entrust, it means to set before him, to deposit it for safekeeping. It's valuable. Entrust it. And once again, this is an imperative. This is a command. You take what I have told you and you teach it. You put it in men. Timothy was charged not only to protect and to keep this word pure and to hold it up as to being a standard, but it was given to him to teach it. It's the word. I mean, okay, what was he to be entrusted with? The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. This is the word of God. That's what he was supposed to entrust. There was no confusion here of what you're supposed to teach. There was no confusion of here of what the conversations were going to be about. When you get them all together, you find some men, and that's who he was supposed to teach it to. He not just everybody, and this wasn't preaching. This was teaching. He says, I want you to get to know the people in that congregation, and I want you to point at men who are already testifying that they are walking with the Lord, already committed to the things of Christ. I want you to take those men, I want you to take them aside here, and I want you to teach them what I have taught you. That is what entrusting is about. That's it, Timothy. I don't know what's going on and what's shaking you up, but that is what you're to be doing. You're to be a teacher, a teacher. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Now, this surely, included the gospel that was presented by Paul and verified by many others. But there was more than just the gospel of what had been imparted to Timothy. Understand, there was no John MacArthur study Bible for him to go back and reference to in those days. There was the word and the teaching that Paul had been taught of all the things that Jesus had taught him. Understand who taught Paul was Jesus. And now his spirit was in him. And so it included the gospel, but it was about who God was. Man, it was about who God was, who Christ was, God's promises, God's judgment, salvation in full color. It was about all of those things and on and on and on. It was about the Word of God. Everything that I've taught you. And these were to be set before faithful men, men who were convinced of Jesus being the Messiah. Not that we're not men are trying to figure it out. This was not the preaching. We'll get to that in chapter 4 if we go through a series here. It's about preaching in chapter 4. This is about teaching. This is about teaching. Men that demonstrated giftedness and are dedicated to Christ's ministry and its word, the word of God. Men that were trustworthy. Men that were trustworthy and they had proven this. They were faithful men. That's what the word faithful men means. They're trustworthy. They're trustworthy to complete the mission. And you know, it's not an accusation that every person in the church is not one of those people. But there are people that are called, men who are called, and they know that that's the calling on their life. And I'm going to just tell you, this teaching, and that was Timothy. That was what Timothy was supposed to do. But as we apply this to the membership of the church, I'm going to just tell you, there's no doubt, I don't care who you are in the sanctuary tonight, there is somebody who knows less than you. There's somebody who knows less than you. So applying the trickle-down effect about this teaching and this calling to teach, and I've got to wind this thing up here, but this calling to teach is for you to look for that person. It's another deal you're going to have to do. You're going to get to know the people in the church. And you say, I'm smarter than that guy. I'm not smarter than him. I'm not definitely not smarter than him, but this guy here. But I'm smarter than him, so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take him and I'm going to teach him all that God has put inside of me. That's what I'm going to do. Mothers, you can do this with your children. I know you're not smarter than math, and a lot of our kids today, they're smarter than us about the math. I talked to some of these kids around here. I don't want to go head to head with them, even reciting their 475 Bible verses. But I'm going to tell you, the word of God is in you. Teach your children. Teach your children. Husbands, teach your wives. Teach those people that have professed Christ that you know about at work. Take them aside or whatever. You know, it's entrusting. And that's the ministry. And he's saying, Timothy, stop living in despair. People are going to come against you. It's going to be tough. You're going to be taken on the carpet for it. You're going to be called out for it a lot of times when you know, and it's going to absorb some of your time. And yes, you're going to be ridiculed. And yes, you may be persecuted. And yes, you may even end up in prison like me. But that's the ministry. There's a lot of other things that, you know, we can enjoy, but that's the ministry. That's the ministry. That's what it's about. It's the same thing that it was about him. And truly, he was imparting this. And truly, there's no difference here. You've got the seminaries today that are training our men. And you've got pastors training elders. And then elders teaching in various things. But it applied to our life. That is the ministry. It's about taking the Word of God, which you know has been preached to you, taught to you, poured into you, and taking it out. Finding a place to take it out. And he's saying, Timothy, stop whining. Stop whining. Stop looking around for, you know, whatever it is. So how does this apply to us? How does it apply to us? Well, I think I just said how it applies to us. You know, that's ministry. And it's not always fun. I can tell you it's not always a bed of roses. You're not always going to be encouraged by it. You're going to pour your life into people day after day, year after year. And they may call you one day and just say, you know, that's not enough. It's not enough. I'm sorry, but it's just not enough. And that's going to let you down. Act like men. It's no time to be timid. It's no time to be timid. It's no time to start evaluating. Well, you know, I don't know. Too much focus on the Word. Too much focus on the Word. We really need to focus on something else. You know, global warming. There's a lot going on around us. Let me tell you, the Word of God is what's going to change this world. It's what's going to change the heart of your children. It's what's going to change your lost husband, your lost wife, your lost mother, your lost father, your lost neighbor. It's the Word of God. That's what's going to do it. That is what is going to do it. And truly, there's a lot of other things and ways that we can minister to people, and we need to do that. But I'll tell you, the focus needs to be what's been entrusted. And believe me, it's been entrusted. It's being entrusted. You know, when you think about the Sunday schools at this church on a weekly basis, the men that sit and teach you, I'm telling you, I mean, they could be seminary professors in other venues. The women's Bible study taught here could be a seminary. And we're blessed with that. But we need to take that, and we need to apply this in our life and let it be something that's coming out of our life. Out of our life. It doesn't get hung up here. It doesn't need to get hung up in our heads that it's just about reciting it. It's something that goes to our feet. It comes out of our heart. It's what gets us through those tough days. When we got the bad news about whatever is going on, that is sufficient. Or disagreement about this and that this is what tracks us. This is what tracks us. Oh, Timothy, stand firm in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ.